Good morning. It's about 9:08, and today we have House Finance members present, Representative Jewell, Representative T. Wilson, Co-Chair Stoltz, Representative Newman, Representative Costello, Representative Edgman, Representative Dugan, and you were saying?
Representative Austin
is in the audience, yeah. And we're going to be taking testimony this morning from three school district presidents or designees, and then this afternoon we have five more. But before we go on, we wanted to acknowledge some of the school districts that aren't being able to testify, but at least stand up and say where you're from, you know, stand up and tell us who you are and then go through the row, if you don't mind, so we know who's here.
Lon Garrison with the Sitka School Board and President of the Alaska Association of School Boards.
Nurse Lowe.
Okay. Almost okay, then back.
North West Hardy.
North West Hardy.
We'll move with Kodiak.
Gene Ellis, President of Petersburg School Board.
White Kings, yeah.
Crystal Kennedy from Ashford.
That it? Welcome. Okay, welcome. We are having hearings on education, and we're trying to cover everything. You notice again, there's no specific bill because we feel there's a couple bills in the, well, at least one in the Senate, yet a couple in education, and we're just trying to get ahead of the big end that's coming up here in the next 19 days. You know, whether, you know, the co-chair and I were talking, we've got capital budget, we've got operating budget, and we've got a flurry, a gas, oil bill, oil taxes, so we don't know where we're going to come out. So we're just trying to get ahead of the ball here, and hopefully we come up with something. If we don't, then we're in trouble either way. So something's going to fall out, and that's been, you know, those who've been around long enough know that that's what's going to happen. Something stops. So with that, we have three presentations today. We have the No Slow Burr, and we promise that we will be gentle. We're not as intimidating as people think we are, but we just look mean up here. And Representative Guerra's here. So Mary Sage and Eva Kenny-Viak. Viak, we come up here, and anybody else that you want with you? We do have three chairs. And normally, if you take, you know, you go between slides, we might ask questions just to let you know. And be gentle, men, women.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Uvlalatok, Pagalagipsi, Uvanga Angyagar. Good morning. My name is Mary Angyagar Sage. I am the clerk for the North Slope Borough School District Board of Education, and I'm proud to present to you my colleague, Eva Kinnebeck from Point Hope. Eva is a whaling captain's wife and a member of the Kinnebeck crew.
Uvlami, good morning. And my name is Eva Kinnebeck, and my Inuktitut name is Olokrok, and I was named after my great-grandma from Point Hope, who's also Point Hope is known as Tikiak, the Inuktitut name, and I represent Point Hope and Point Lay.
With the slides that we have here, what is your fiscal year 13 total school district budget, and what percentage goes to personnel? Our FY13 budget is $68 million, and 76% of this goes towards personnel. We have a budget gap of $2.8 million, and we have two major contributing factors that are healthcare costs and energy. There is no increase in staffing or programs.
Here's a graph that shows your total school district budget, our total school district budget from fiscal year 9 to fiscal year 13, broken down by funding source.
State 36%, federal 12%, North Slope Borough 49%, and other 3%.
We only have 1 year today rather than the 5 requested. We'll provide more information to the committee later. Our superintendent is with us and only has this year's budget on her computer. Unfortunately, our finance director's mother passed away, so she has left Barrow. We don't have depth in that department to provide the information until she returns to Barrow.
Just a comment. Because of Senate Bill 36, I think your contributions by the North Slope Bureau are higher than most school districts. Some of you might remember it, some of you don't, but I think there were 3 or 4 communities that were involved in that disparity, I call it, because I was on the other side with North Slope Bureau fighting for justice and equality for all. But needless to say, we lost it at the end. So anyway, that's why the contribution from the North Slope Bureau you probably see would be higher than most school districts, our local contribution.
And we're thankful for the, through the chair, and we're thankful for the North Slope Bureau, you know, for funding the education, you know, or even supporting our kids in our district. Going down with our slide, it shows, did you fund to the total allowable local contributions in fiscal year 12 and fiscal year 13?
The answer is no. But the North Slope Borough has always been generous to the district and has funded more than the required minimum. The current borough budget funds 69% of this allowable level.
If not, how much below were you and why?
The answer is $14 million. North Slope Borough funds nearly 3 times the minimum required local contribution, but does not fund to the cap. North Slope Borough also funds critical services that other regions receive from the state. For example, public safety, health, police, and social services, and search and rescue. The borough uses borough funds to do search and rescue, even outside our communities, such as Crudo Bay and Alpine. We do not have VPSO in our villages. The borough provides the police service. The borough has always been very generous with funding education.
How much has the state contribute to the PERS interest and funded liability on behalf of your school district in fiscal year 2012 and 2013? For 2012, it's $5.3 million and fiscal year, $8.7 million. Ariga, thank you. Thank you for setting the fixed rates for district contributions that help us plan. When was your most recent ratified teacher contract put into place? We negotiated 2012 for 2013. What were the terms? Zero. We rolled over, flat, salary scheduled, honored. What was your average teacher salary? $72,000. What was your starting teacher salary? $53,000. Did you negotiate significant salary increases in your labor contracts for fiscal year 13? No. All certified, classified, administrative, and exempt agreed to zero salary increase in 2013, holding flat in all areas because of current budget difficulties.
On the North Slope, we have to be competitive. 5 years ago, we had 84 new teachers out of 170 total teachers. District-wide, we had a 50% turnover rate, and some schools had entirely new staff. When we were at a job fair, we were sitting at a table next to California. California districts had comparable salaries and a $6,000 signing bonus. The Alaska Rural average turnover rate is approximately 30%. As a board, we have prioritized this issue of teacher retention, and today it is 27%. Remember, we are recruiting teachers to live in the Arctic. When we left Barrow, it was 34 degrees below zero, and that does not include the wind chill factor. I have not had running water for over a week because the main water line is frozen, and there's 45 homes with frozen sewer lines.
So this is 70-degree difference for you?
Yes, we've been enjoying walking around a lot. After every meal.
And running water.
Yes.
We're enjoying your spring.
Yeah.
In regard to teacher turnover, in Point Hope, this is the first year in 11 years that we have had a principal stay for 2 years. So we are making progress in our turnover rate.
Regarding the cost of living, I have five beautiful children. I pay $10 for a gallon of milk and $17 for a bag of green grapes. When you're looking at our average teacher, our average base salary, please remember that our cost differential is 79%.
Question here, Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On your teacher turnover, is there a certain program that you're doing, or is this because of the programs that the department has that you're starting to see a difference in a lower turnover?
I will, through the chair, Representative Wilson. I think part of it is due to our new leadership with our Superintendent Collin. We have strong leadership. She hit the ground running. She made it a point to visit every village, spend a few days, get to know the administration, the teachers and the community, and I think the respect is mutually shown. We're starting the fall year with no empty classroom teachers. We're very thankful. We do have a salary that attracts teachers, and we strive to retain them. We work on engaging our community with the school. So, I'd say due to teamwork.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Guerra.
Let me just ask you about teacher turnover. Which I know is damaging. If we had a formula that kept classroom funding up with inflation and school district costs, would that have any impact on your ability to keep teachers and principals for longer?
Through the chair, Representative Guerra, I believe so. That would help us greatly.
Okay. And then just on page 5 of your chart, I didn't understand that. It said, how much below were you? And it says $14 million. That's $14 million to provide the same services you provided last year? Or what does that $14 million mean?
Through the chair, Representative Guerra, that refers to the question, were we funded to the cap? The answer is no. And then the question was, if not, how much below?
Thank you.
But I think, I don't know if you were here, Representative Guerra, look at chart number 3. You see what the North Slope Bureau contributes for education versus.
Yep.
Okay.
And getting back, you know, in our village, you know, Mary was just comparing prices of groceries. In our village, we pay over $8 for a half a gallon of milk. And for stove oil, we have to pay over $450 to keep our homes warm. So it is expensive, you know, living in the village and trying to even retain teachers because of smaller communities.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Edgman.
Yes, can you repeat, a moment ago you said you had 170 teachers and 84 were new. I don't know if I got that right. And the question I would ask in all that is, what kind of orientation program do you have with new teachers that come from, say, the lower 48 and all of a sudden find themselves 34 below zero.
Through the chair, Representative Edgman.
Yeah.
5 years ago, we had a turnover rate. We turned over 84 teachers. Last year, it was 27%. We do have a week-long orientation that includes cultural orientation, and I'd like to invite Superintendent Cowan to elaborate on that.
Through the chair, thank you, Board Member Sage. The orientation for all new teachers is a week long in early August, and then the orientation continues throughout the school year, so it's not just a one-shot deal. It includes the orientation to culture and living on the slope, those Maslow needs, and things that make a huge difference for success, but it also introduces them to the academics, both our instructional programs as well as our assessment systems, our response intervention programs, and the various things that they'll need to be successful to, for the instructional part as well, including our curriculum program that is integrated with culture and place.
Thank you.
And where did you come from?
Sorry, through the chair and an apology. You asked if they wanted to bring up help. I'm Peggy Cowan, Superintendent of Schools, North Slope Borough School District.
Yeah, but I mean, what city did you come from? That, you know, did you come from California or were you in Alaska?
I came from Juneau for 25 years.
Last name now, we're here, Cowan. Yeah.
And before that, Fairbanks.
Right. Okay, so you're used to the cold weather up in Fairbanks then.
Yeah, right.
I recognized the Cowan after I said, where did you come from? So I apologize.
That's right.
34 below.
Getting back to the PowerPoint. What are the cost drivers in your budget? We have salaries and benefits, energy, transportation cost.
Our health insurance has gone up in the last 5 years. Our district is 89,000 square miles. That is the size of the state of Minnesota. Moving people in the district is expensive. As Fly in the Wild, Alaska said, welcome to Barrow. This is our most profitable office. Any purchase has to be shipped, so we have very high freight costs.
I can't drive to a board meeting. There are no connected roads. And, you know, just from Point Hope to our nearest hub, just a round trip ticket costs $459. And I'm sure throughout the state of Alaska and rural villages, how the smaller villages have to go to their next hub, like $459 round trip, you know. And that's the transportation cost. The flights out of Point Hope directly to Barrow are only twice a week, and the majority of the time the weather is a big factor.
Just for the record, Representative Dick is here also. I didn't see him walk in, so apologies. Enjoying ourselves up here, that's why. So, okay.
The next slide is the energy cost. How much were your energy costs in fiscal year 11? It was $6.7 million. How much do you project them to be in fiscal year 13? 7.2. 9% of the overall cost is second highest category. Looking at the graph here, you can see our enrollment has been relatively steady since 2007.
Adjusting to decline in enrollment. Do you have a system in place to make budget adjustments when enrollment drops? How do you approach this? Well, the North Slope School District, our enrollment has been pretty stable. We do adjust on a case-by-case basis, school by school. This has not been a big factor in the past 5 years.
What are your biggest instructional challenges? We have bandwidth and latency, delivery across 89,000 square miles, principal and teacher turnover, relevant engaging curriculum, village equity, high cost of highly qualified staff for small sites, sustained professional development, lack of local teachers. You know, some things in Barrow, a town of 4,500, you know, we can't. There are some things in the villages we can't do. And one of the things is alternative schools. In Barrow, we have an alternative schools, and they reach maybe 50 to 60 kids a year. But in the not only in our region, but throughout the state, I think of all the ones that we cannot reach. You know, there's a lot of kids out there that we are missing, and we don't have the resources or tools to try to reach them. And another thing is no advanced placement classes because lack of funding. We want to provide great classes or even courses to give to the kids in the smaller communities, but it's because of lack of bandwidth or we don't have the funding to do that. Yesterday, I listened. These last couple of days, I listened to Kara Heights, the Cordova Teacher of the Year. That was an awesome presentation that she did in ASB at our fly-in session. You know, and her presentation was making a shift of digital learning. And that's what we want to do, too. That's what we want to offer our kids in the smaller communities.
And one of the examples I'd like to give you is in our school, our special ed teacher, she's so excited about these iPads. And one of the things she does is there are days she turns on the iPad and tries to teach the disabled kids or kids with issues. And there are days that we got no connectivity. And that's one of the things that we're faced in the rural villages. And I was looking at this, our slide here, and when I look at latency, the only thing I could look at that, when I look at that word, I look at late. In the bushes, in the bush, in the rural communities, it's small. I mean, it's always slow. And that's one of the things we have to deal with, bandwidth. And also the curriculum, the relevant, engaging curriculum. This is what we're trying to do in our district, you know, to try to bring relevancy. And I really believe that's what our score is going to start going high because of, I started thinking of some of the science teachers that bring in frogs or different things that we have to import. Now our teachers are able to even use the lemmings or even to dissect, you know, some of the organs in science or even in math, like a whale and how big it is.
Representative Jewell?
Could you translate to?
Oh. Caribou. So the next slide, we'll go to distance performance. What grade would you give your school district? We gave ourselves a C. We believe our district is proficient with a commitment to excellence. What are you proposing to do differently to improve student performance? Our goal is all students will reach all their intellectual potential and achieve academic success through our individual learning plans and developing relevant curriculum, which we are doing today.
In regards to this question, what grade would you give your school district, it was kind of difficult to answer because, you know, in our culture we don't boast or brag, but we do need to stand up for our school district. And, you know, we have village students going to Ivy League schools. Every month in our school board report, we get to learn about amazing student achievement. So we have a lot of good things going on. There's a lot of room for improvement. Unfortunately, last fall, we lost a very talented student in a tiny village. And it was really hard on the students. This student was an amazing kid. He started a dance group. He encouraged others to dance. He taught others to dance, and he was a great hunter. Unfortunately, we had a half-time counselor that split 1 month in that village and 1 month in another. And that was so difficult to be here to advocate for educational equity and stand up for our kids. We have, you know, one teacher teaching three grade levels and saying, well, I'm doing it and I'm trying. It'd be nice to have another teacher. And then we're facing a $2.8 million budget gap. We are the Alaska leader in place-based, culturally appropriate education. Confluence of the Inupiaq Learning Framework and Understanding by Design, the North Slope Borough School District has initiated and sustained a five-year phase curriculum alignment, integration, and mapping effort. As we mentioned, this is one of our strategic plan goals. We are known statewide today as a leader in place-based, culturally appropriate education. This excites me because a few weeks ago I was doing homework with my six-year-old, and she had to match the words to the pictures. There's six different choices for each word in each picture. And she asked me, Mom, what is a curb? We don't have paved roads in Barrow. We don't have sidewalks. And I had to tell her, what is a curb? I'd be really excited, and I'm looking forward to seeing my children bring home homework that is relevant to our surroundings. The Joint Legislative Task Force on theme-based education came to Barrow to see what we are doing because they believe we are the model for rural education for the state. I know a lot of committee members that are on this task force came up to Barrow, and we thank you for visiting us. The Commissioner of Education used an example of instruction he saw in a Barrow classroom in his speech when he explains the new state standards.
Curriculum support. Is the state providing the kind of planning and curriculum support that is helpful to your school district? Yes, the department has sponsored curriculum alignment and other conferences and has provided technical assistance.
Help other than money. How can the DEED, the Board of Education, or other state agencies help you to achieve better results other than just providing you with more money? We come up with new teacher mentoring, technical assistance expertise, less reporting requirements, and having true local control.
Question.
Yes.
New teacher mentoring, wouldn't you mean more? Because we pay a lot of money for mentoring now. So increased mentoring maybe, or are you getting none right now from the state?
Superintendent Cowan.
Thank you, Board Member Chair, to the Chair, Representative Thomas. We do currently have teacher mentoring, and it's been cut back from all new first and second year teachers to first year teachers only, and is focused on content areas. So we're very grateful, and it's one of the successful things because, again, in our small schools, our principals have to both evaluate and mentor and try to support, and having a person that's outside of the evaluation system to try to support the teachers and encourage them and, you know, and be that neutral coach has been very helpful and is credited with part of our decrease in teacher turnover, and we're very appreciative, but we have seen a smaller pool able to be mentored in the last few years.
Since you were here in Juneau also, did you ever go to UAS and see what they're doing to teach? I mean, 40% of the teachers come out of the university system. Do they have classes where they're going to tell them, hey, you're going to go to different cultural areas? Or do they, I mean, when you went here, you had to go out here and see the university and talk to them, and they're aware that they're going to go to some places that you have to pack water, you have to do different things?
thank you, Chair Thomas. Yes, and we actually continue to team with them. When I was here, I was on their campus council and worked with them and teamed with them and with the schools. The particular program you're talking about, the University of Alaska Southeast teacher program, has a rural practicum. And so they do their student teaching in their home community, whether it be Sitka, Ketchikan, or Juneau, but each one of them goes and spends a week in a village somewhere in Alaska. And the purpose of that is to prepare them for those transitions, realizing that with the higher teacher turnover, that the likelihood might be that they might be able to start in a rural community, and that they want to help prepare them for it. So that and we host students from UAS in our villages to help with that transition. We also work with the other campuses, and they have not exactly the same program, but other programs that allow some of them to allow students to visit villages in the preparation program.
Thank you. Representative Jewell.
Reggie works, Mr. Chairman.
Reggie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I was listening to your the new teacher mentoring, that's part of the state program. My question has to do with your theme-based curriculum and your commitment to that. And as I understand it, you have a core group working around the district. Is that over and above? Because I think that's kind of a mentoring as well, as you're getting more and more of your workforce into the place-based education curriculum concept, and you're doing that on your own?
Yeah, through the chair, and thank you. It is key, it is core, it is the focus of our work, and we share the in-service days that the state allows with between site-based ones and district-based ones, and every in-service day that the district controlled this year was devoted to this work. And so every teacher in the district received multiple days of training on developing culturally appropriate, rigorous academic units. So it's not just about the culture. It's about teaching through the culture to the rigorous academics. And they, but we do have about 50 teachers district-wide, at least one language arts, one math, and one science from every school in the district, whether it's a village or a Barrow school, who's on the core team that's doing the development work. And because of our distances, most of that work is done in the summer. We never have a district-wide in-service like you do in Anchorage or even some of the other rural districts where we fly everybody to, you know, one site because, again, of the expense. But we are able to bring people together, the smaller group in the summer, and then offer the trainings in their own villages for the culturally integrated curriculum. Thank you.
Zamgira.
Thank you. You seem like a strong team, so I'm happy to see that, and I think it's a credit that you brought Ms. Cowan up. She did a great job in Juneau, so that was a smart move on your part.
We're blessed to have her, and we're keeping her.
Let me just ask a couple questions on things that you said. You said right now you're projected to have a $2.8 million budget gap, and I don't know who to ask, Ms. Cowan or the school board members. The $2.8 million budget gap, two questions on it. One, what will that do in terms of next year's education services you're able to provide compared to last year? That's one question. And then second, does somebody have an estimate of what kind of increase to the base student allocation you would need to be held even?
All right. Through the chair, $2.8 million is the equivalent of 23 teaching positions. That's not where it's all going to be taken. The board is waiting to the end of the legislative and budget process to make a final decisions on exactly what will be cut. The priorities will continue, the curriculum work, that it's primarily due, over a million of it is due to increased insurance costs, and then other parts of it is other inflationary costs. And so I'm sorry, Representative Gatter, what was the question?
I know it's hard. I know you know what your shortfall is, but do you have an estimate of what kind of base student allocation?
Oh, yes, I do know that. $538.
Through the chair, let me do the math and try and negotiate that down. But $538, it's about $27 million per 100. So that's like a roughly $100 million increase, which even I don't think I'd be able to push for. Well, I mean, it is what it is, right? Do you think if we're able to give you a boost commensurate with inflation that would help at all, or is that just band-aiding for you?
To the chair, again, we are supportive of an increase to the base student allocation, and we're looking to combine that with other with other funding sources, but we'll inevitably need to make some cutbacks, and we recognize that in order to continue but we are intending on continuing the program that we are offering as long as we don't have to make, if some of that can be gained and we can make progress towards part of it.
Thank you. And Mr. Chair, can I just ask one other question? We don't get into policy as much on this committee. It's always some funding, but you really mentioned something that, as an urban person, I need to be sensitive to, which is broadband. And so, obviously, it's very difficult to have the staff to do what you need to do. So broadband helps you do courses by video, which nobody's going to do if their computer keeps stalling and they start yelling at their computer for half the day. Do you have any idea what it might cost to increase the broadband to a level where you could start providing AP courses and the courses you need to through the Internet? Is there any way to estimate what kind of cost we're talking about? I mean, that's something that I would ideally like to do for all rural districts.
Yeah, through the chair, that one we'll need to get back to you on. I mean, it's going to be a combination of infrastructure and then using the pipelines that we do. We are on satellite, which is a major thing. I mean, right. The bottom line would be to get to fiber or microwave, but we appreciate the question. We're not prepared to answer that at this time. But we do depend, we will need to increase that, and we're working on our own grants to better utilize what we do have so that we can use things like the Alaska Learning Network that we're counting on to provide some of those courses so our students can have the courses that are necessary for the Alaska Performance Scholarship as well as success as they move on.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Just for the record, Representative Guerra, Gustavus requested a broadband tower last year. It was $250,000. So they put it in their capital request so they didn't wait. Yep. And refunded it last year. Representative Tugelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could you tell me what it means to have true local control? You hit it on the last slide, the last one we've had, true local control. So I just.
We just feel that local control is eroded when bills or regulations are passed that give mandates to districts. And I'm not going to talk about anything else.
If you could just get some specifics to me, I would love to hear what they are and what we could do to make more local control happen and less reporting requirements and get back to teaching. So if you could get that to me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Jewell.
I'm fortunate because I happen to be the representative for this district.
You're fortunate.
And I know I am, because no matter what community I go into my district, I can find a bloodline relative, including one of them. So this isn't about my constituents. This is about my family. Having said that, I think a partial answer to Representative Wilson's question is what this school district is doing with theme-based, place-based education with regards to local control. And when we get done with this presentation, on one of your slides, I want you to explain that slide, because I think it bears great relevance on that whole issue of local control.
Mr. Chairman, just a quick question.
Quick question.
To Superintendent Cowan, can you talk a little bit about the insurance requirements, the differences between a school district like Juneau and a rural school district like North Slope Borough? Are there any major differences in the required insurance?
In terms of risk management in terms of risk management and property insurance and those things, we go out to bid just like we did in Juneau. Obviously, replacement costs are higher, and so some of those risk management aspects are higher, and on that side, it's a similar process, but it is more expensive. Health insurance is the key one that has been escalating. It's gone up 5% in the few years that I've been with the district, and it is it obviously has lots of transportation is in that as well. And Juneau, since you brought up, Bart looks great, and we get most of our services here. And my son was born there, and most of my husband's knee surgery was there, et cetera. For people on the slope, we have to fly out. From Point Hope last year, I got a call in the middle of the night at 2 a.m. from actually a SAC member who was trying to help a teacher who wanted to be medevaced out, and before he would jump on the medevac, because the clinic was telling me he needed a $20,000 medevac, he wanted to make sure I was going to pay for it, before we got on it, because he was worried about the, his heart was going, and he was worried about the cost of the $20,000 medevac and wanted to make sure it was part of insurance. So we have those kind of costs that are above and beyond health insurance for any urban district.
Okay, thank you. We need to speed it up here. We got two more school districts in your last slide. And you're the first one, so we'll spend more time with you.
Error funds and investments.
How much ERA funds did you receive over the past few years? We received $895,000. How did you invest any ERA funds you received? One-time expenditures on unmet needs such as a van to assist with transfer of students with disabilities, sewer and plumbing repairs, and other maintenance needs. We spent the ERA funds in the first 2 years of the program, so ERA is not contributing to our current budget issues.
Good. Final questions for Representative Jewell?
Can you go back to slide 15, please? And to the outer edges in this picture, as it relates to the students, the people around this, I wanted you to explain the significance of the pairing and the faded and the dark.
The faded would be the past, our ancestors, and the traditional knowledge they carried for 10,000 years. The person that you can't see is the present and the future.
And how that relates to the students and what that's, I guess, tying it back to the students in the center.
Sure, when we developed this, we went to the villages and asked our community members, elders, parents, if you want to produce a graduate and you're able to give your input, what would that graduate look like? And so part of it is passing down our traditional knowledge and teaching each other what we've been taught for over 10,000 years. Traditions, customs, values, history, language, family. And so pulling together, you know, they're passing it on to the younger people, working together. Because one thing that we noticed is that we don't really involve our elders in our education, and that reflects with our students. So we like to involve them.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We're going to go off it.
Representative Stoltz. Yes, I'll take 15 seconds. I just want to say thank you for the hospitality. I went through an education task force. My friends gave me a hard time that I said I'd junk it in the coldest, darkest places in December, but it was about as warm a place as I could have been, and what I learned up there has really helped me a lot through this process. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you for visiting us. We invite all of you to any of our villages on the North Slope.
Thank you for coming and putting up with us.
You know, the first slide of the presentation, there's a whaling season. I mean, there's a whaling scene. And in our village, we're all getting ready for whaling. And Mr. Chair, you said that you were a fisherman. I invite you to come and get a big fish if you want. I invite every one of you to any of our communities. You're very welcome, and we thank you for the time.
And I'm sorry, I'm going to end with that one. We did a school exchange with a school in Barrow and a school in West Virginia, and they were talking about catching whales. And the kid, one of the third graders in West Virginia, asked the Barrow kids, how do you get it in the boat?
Wait, no question.
Like a Woody Simon question. Thank you. At this time, we're going to go to Kodiak and President of Kodiak Island School District, Melissa Borton. Are you there?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
She's the only one, yeah, because. Are you there?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. So if you want to start, we are here.
Chair, I'd like to invite a fellow school board member and our assistant superintendent who are in the audience to come up to the podium, if you don't mind.
They're here. They're moving in.
Thank you very much. I'd like to start off by thanking the House Finance Committee for inviting us to provide this testimony. We appreciate your willingness to hear from districts throughout the state and learn about what's happening on the front lines in education. My name is Melissa Borton. I'm currently the school board president for Kodiak Island Borough School District. I've also been on the school board for 5 years now. I'm a local girl. I was born and raised in Kodiak, as was my husband. We have two girls currently in the school district. We have a 14-year-old in the eighth grade and a third grader, our 9-year-old. in going through the questions that you asked, the first one, what is our FY13 school district budget? I'm assuming you have our written responses in front of you along with our slides, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Hey, we were talking here, sir.
We were conferring.
Spread it. Yes, please, yes. Did they cut me off?
Are you there, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
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 Okay. Is it, the question I asked was, does everybody have our printed
yes.
answers to your to our questions
yes,
in front
you
of
do.
You?
Yep. Okay.
Mr. Co-Chair, during this dead air, I guess, which is always uncomfortable, I'd like to acknowledge Representative Osterman, our majority leader. And I know he's one of our strongest advocates for education, not only in our caucus, but the legislature. And he watches our finance proceedings as much as any other member. And I know... I'd like, if he's listening, also one of our friends from my community is now in Kodiak, Billy Watkins. Let you know, Billy, we're listening here and working with Alan to try to make sure we take a good look at education issues. So just want to thank Representative Osterman for his continual presence, not just on education issues, but throughout the process and finance.
Thank you. Did we lose him?
Mr. Chair, are you ready for me to go on?
Yeah, we lost you there.
I'm trying to fill the dead air there.
No, I'm here. I'm ready. I apologize. So to answer your questions, our FY13 operating budget for this year is a little over $41 million. We are anticipating a $3.5 million deficit for FY13. What percentage goes to personnel? A little over 81.5%. You asked for a graph for FY09 through FY13, broken down by funding source. That's attachment A. And we also, in addition to a colored graph, we attached the corresponding numbers for your review. Did you fund the total allowable local contribution in FY12, FY13? Well, Kodiak Island Borough did not fund to the cap in FY12, and at this point in time, they don't anticipate funding to the cap in FY13. However, their budget doesn't get set until May, so we won't have final confirmation of what their contribution to our school district will be until then. If not, how much were you below and why? In FY12, our borough was $847,000 below the maximum allowable, and based on an early estimate from the borough, we're projecting a $1.4 million below the maximum allowable. I can't really answer for them why. What they've said to us is due to revenue and the debt bond reimbursement for our school, our high school that we're in the process of building. But really, I believe it's up to them to answer why they're not funding to the cap. How much has the state contributed to the PERS and TERS unfunded liability on behalf of your school district in FY12? It was a little over $5.5 million, and in FY13, it's looking to be almost $7.4 million. When was your most recently ratified teacher contract? We actually just ratified our certificated teacher contract at March's board meeting. We still have three other union groups to negotiate with for this coming year. And we were very pleased and fortunate to have good negotiations with our certificated teacher union and have negotiated a one-year rollover contract with no increase to cost, no cost of living increase, so essentially a soft freeze. We've had no salary growth, just regular movement in this upcoming contract.
What is, Ms. Fletcher, what is regular movement?
Our average teacher salary is a little over $69,000, and I'd like to point out that with benefits, that goes up to $98,000. Our starting teacher salary is slightly over $43,000, and again, with benefits, makes it $72,000. Did we negotiate significant salary increases in our labor contracts? As I said a few minutes ago, we've only finished negotiations with one teacher group, and we did not negotiate significant salary increases. That was a mutual agreement with our certificated teaching group. What are the cost drivers in our budget? Well, I'm sure you're going to hear from everybody that it's energy, health insurance, personnel, and transportation, and mostly these are inflationary costs. Over the last 4 years, our school district has reduced our budget by 34 teaching positions, and we anticipate reducing it. If no additional funding comes in, we're looking at a reduction of approximately 40 positions in next year's budget. So the major cost drivers in our budget really are inflationary. How much were your energy costs in FY11? They were slightly over $1.9 million. And in FY13, we're anticipating $2.3 million. This is an 18% increase between the 2 years. Do you have a system in place to make budget adjustments when enrollment drops? Yes, of course we do. We have a detailed staffing formula that's scalable based on what our student population is versus how many teaching positions work with them. However, our enrollment has not decreased or increased substantially over the years. It does decrease slightly. But in addition to that, our school board is very active in reviewing and monitoring our budgets. We review and approve monthly report of revenues and expenditures, and in addition, we have 3 revisions throughout the year to our budget. What are your biggest instructional challenges? Kodiak, in addition to being a hub community, we also have small remote schools across the island. And I would say that is one of our biggest instructional challenges. Our school numbers in our rural sites continue to decline, as evidenced across the state. And being able to provide quality education and an equitable education to our rural sites continues to be a challenge. In addition to providing quality instruction for our English language learners, special education, and gifted and talented students, we have, as I'm sure across the state as well, there are many students that struggle in traditional classrooms. That's why Kodiak has chosen to invest heavily in vocational education. And while these programs are very vital, they're also very expensive. We have taken a bold leap and invested in technology in our district. And with that investment, we also meet challenges. We are striving to provide a quality education across our district while simultaneously prepping our students for life in today's society. And, of course, increasing costs throughout our budget is always a challenge. What grade would I give our school district? I gave us a B+. I think that there are areas within our school district that we're doing phenomenally well, and I think that there are areas within our district that need improvement, as with anything. A couple of examples I included. Our vocational education is an area that we're doing very well in. We're producing, just one example, we're producing students at the sophomore level that are able to get multiple industry certifications in welding. When they graduate high school, they're job ready. However, most of them are choosing to go and get further vocational education before they go into the workforce. Another example would be our music and our arts program. We're able to provide music instruction through video teleconferencing to all of our rural sites. This is our third year doing it, and our remote communities are very, very thankful for that opportunity. An area where I think that we're a C, as mentioned earlier, our English language learner program is very diverse in Kodiak. We have 14 different languages spoken throughout our school district, representing 411 students. And this always poses a challenge, but it's something that we're striving to be to provide the same education to all of our students. And then, as mentioned earlier, providing an equitable and quality education to our rural sites remains an obstacle, but something that we are talking about and working towards every day. What are you proposing to do differently to improve student performance? I think this is ongoing. Our school district, our board, administration, teachers, and community members, we engage every year in an intensive strategic planning effort and goal-setting process. We try to enable all stakeholders in having a voice in our district's educational programming policies and philosophy for education. However, we've already put several new initiatives in place in our district, and so we do not anticipate changing any of those, or I should say adding any of those for this upcoming year. We believe that in order to make sure intervention initiatives and improvement efforts are successful, they need ample time to test and to become effective. Is the state providing the kind of planning and curriculum support that is helpful to your district? We have a very good working relationship with the State Board of Education and the Department of Education and Early Development. We believe that they're responsive to the concerns in our district and provide ample opportunities to give input regarding necessary actions and responses. They form many committees that we're able to take part in and have a voice in what happens with education statewide. How can DED and the Board of Education or other state agencies help achieve better results? Well, as mentioned in the earlier testimony, we agree that the teacher mentoring program needs to continue. We've had an excellent relationship with the department in providing this teacher mentoring project, and we hope that it continues to be a part of the department. And as far as we're not sure that there's anything that we can advocate for adding to the department, but we certainly would appreciate being able for them to be able to continue what they already provide. How much RF funding did we receive over the past few years? In fiscal year 2010, we received slightly under $2.5 million in RF funds, and in FY11, we received an additional $366,000. We chose to invest our RF funding in the following way. Primarily, we did an overhaul to our technology infrastructure and an investment in technology in the classroom. We've provided laptops and iPads to every school on the island. Our villages are now 1-to-1, and our classrooms in Kodiak are 2-to-1. In addition, we have upgraded some of our software programs and took the opportunity to provide some intense professional development. Are there any questions?
Representative T. Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On the mentoring, now this year you will be part of the university's mentoring versus the department. Is that correct, or are you looking to do out of both projects?
Through the chair, I'd like to ask Assistant Superintendent Marilyn Davidson to respond to that, please.
Thank you. Through the chair, we do work with the state program in mentoring. I believe that is still run. My impression was that it was still connected to the university. It's the state program that we do work with then. And we do supplement that with local efforts as well in mentoring our new teachers, since that retention issue is so important to us.
Follow-up, sir?
Follow-up.
It's just our understanding, absolutely, it's been the departments, but now the University of Alaska will be doing one with the urban schools, which is my understanding that Kenai will be probably Kenai, Matsu, Anchorage, and Fairbanks versus the department. So I was just trying to see what the correlation was.
And through the chair, as we'd be Kodiak, I believe we'd be in that other area.
That might help if I got the wrong one. Sorry about that.
Any other, Representative Dugan.
Mr. Chairman, just a couple of numbers. I think that in the presentation it was said that current budget, about 23 positions will have to be laid off. Did I read that correctly?
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure where in the presentation it said that. We didn't include how many teaching positions in our presentation.
Can you give me how many teaching positions there are and what the current budget would do to those teaching positions? I'd appreciate it.
Absolutely. So with a $3.5 million deficit, we're looking at 40 position reduction in next year's budget. 32.5 of those would be certificated classroom staff. 6 of those would be classified, 2 administrative staff.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Any other questions? I have one for, and I forgot to ask the Municipal Bureau. We pre-fund, or we
forward fund
education, and we have in a And we've been told just because it's sitting in a fund off to the side, it's not forward funding, but it's an equivalent to a full year of funding. Is the Kodiak Island School District aware of this?
Yes, Mr. Chair, we are aware of this, and we are greatly appreciative that the legislature has taken the steps to pre-fund education for the coming year.
Okay, I think maybe you should let other people know, because we keep being told just because it's in a fund doesn't mean it's forward funding. It's in a fund off to the side, and we take a little, a little resentment of that, because that's $1.1 or $1.2 billion that's sitting there all ready for education. And the other question that people made people aware of, there was no BSA in it. And so we're surprised that the people coming in for one this year when it wasn't in the forward funding. And that was the idea for forward funding, to give the school districts stability and assurance of the funding. And I think also in my years and years before when I worked for the North Slope Brewer down here, and that was why grants were given each year. I forgot what they call school something, remember?
Learning opportunity grants.
Yep, instead to help people make an offset the needs that they have. Instead, now it seems like in the last, since 2008, we've given about $700 BSA increase. So I don't know if you listened to yesterday's presentation or not yesterday, but that was what we heard yesterday, too. I just want to make this, it's one that I forgot to ask North Slope Brewer if they were aware of forward funding. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, there was one question asked earlier about what it meant for a soft rollover for our forces. May I be allowed to answer that question? Yes. Representative Stoltz to the chair. What that means is that there are three ways that teachers can possibly get an increase on the salary schedule. One of those is through a cost of living increase through negotiated agreement. What we told you was that was not happening this year. Our teachers have rolled over their contract with no cost of living factor in that contract. However, there are two other ways that a teacher can get an increase in salary on the salary schedule, and that is through the number of years, the length of service in the district, and then the third way is through the acquisition of district-improved coursework to increase their learning. And so those two stay in. And so teachers can get those steps, what we call steps and columns, that is length of time in the district and the acquisition of district-approved coursework.
So, Mr. Co-Chair. And I guess as other boards come and testify before us, there's been talk about there's a frozen pay. And if you're working for Dugan Enterprises and his employees had step increases, he would feel like he was paying them more money. And I think there's a little bit of disconnect sometimes in the public sector about steps and merit and all the other steps, just because it's not part of a negotiated contract. If you're making more money than you were the previous year, I think you've got a salary increase. Only in government is that not counted. But
yes, sir. Through the chair, Representative Stoltz, I want to be real clear on that so that we wouldn't leave with a false impression. You're correct. And
also, for the record, your name. So
I'm so sorry. Norm Wooten.
I told her that. But
thank you.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair.
One question I do have, and actually I have two. Who do you think is responsible for highly performing teachers? Is it the state should do it, or school boards, or, how do we make sure that they do perform? I mean, who's responsible?
Mr. Chair, I mean, I guess I would say that we're both responsible. I think that giving local control for school boards and having teachers that are responsive to all community needs is very important, but I also believe that the state has a hand in that, too. I mean, as we've all heard before, it takes a village to raise a child, correct? So as a community and as a state, we should all be working together to provide excellent education to our kids.
Excellent. And what do you do to ensure that you do have quality teachers? I mean, you must have a review program each year. And then it kind of leads into, have you ever laid a teacher off that was tenured?
We do have a review review process. It's also a review process that is currently under review itself, and Assistant Superintendent Marilyn Davidson can go into more detail about our review process. Yes. Marilyn?
Well, we're running out of time, but you go ahead, and then we got questions popping up here, so.
Mr. Chair, I believe the president of the board has answered that question for you, and I wouldn't add.
Okay. Representative Guerra, and then Newman, and then we'll go to the next presenter here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know I'm just following up on Representative Thomas's point. I mean, it's true that we have forward funded, and that's a lot of money, but when there's no BSA increase, over as that's been the case over the last 2 years, forward funding is just the same amount of money as last year, which I just don't want people to come away with the impression that there's an increase in forward funding. So let me ask you the sort of $50 million, $30 million, $100 million question. You've got a $3.5 million deficit facing you next year. It might result in a 40-position reduction. To avoid that, have you calculated what kind of base student allocation increase you would need to be held harmless?
Yes, through the chair, Mr. Representative Guerra, we anticipate a base student allocation increase of $320 in addition to the max allowable cap through our local funding and fully funding SB 182 for pupil transportation would give our school district a no deficit position.
And then just one other question. There are two types of proposals being discussed inside this building. The governor has proposed one-time funding of $10 million more than last year. He keeps calling it $30 million, but it's $10 million more than last year. So that's one option, one-time funding, and the other option would be base student allocation increases that might equal inflation. If you had a choice between one-time funding and base student allocation increases, could you explain which one you'd prefer and why?
Through the chair, Representative Guerra, we prefer a base student allocation increase. It gives school districts the opportunity to plan ahead. One-time funding is simply that, it's one-time funding. So next year we're going to be going through the same process of reducing our budget, possibly pink-slipping teachers and other valuable staff. And as stated earlier, we've already reduced our budget by 34 positions over the last 4 years. We don't have anywhere else within our budget to reduce without significant impacts to our educational programming. So we would prefer a base student allocation increase.
Thanks.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've been trying to keep my questions to a minimum here. But I think an issue that was brought up here is the small remote schools. And I know when I chaired the Education Committee, we looked at the ADM. We have a minimum ADM of 10. And I'd like to know kind of what Kodiak Rural School District members are thinking about this. You know, it's realizing that the school is the hub of the community in a lot of villages. It's where a lot of functions go from funerals on up. But trying to have highly qualified teachers in the core subjects as required by No Child Left Behind is very expensive. We look at your cost, personnel is 75% to 80% in a lot of these districts. I know it's a difficult situation to have to try and look at, and it's difficult to even discuss, you know, and it would probably go into regional learning centers and how they would be affected, but what are you doing and what's your opinion on ADM minimum class or school sizes of 10 and increasing that number up? I know it's a very difficult discussion to have, but I look at your costs and stuff. What are your thoughts?
Well, through the chair, Representative Newman, personally, I would not be agreeable to requesting an increase to that minimum school size. As you said, the schools in our rural communities are the hub of the community and oftentimes the largest employers and a safe place for kids to go. We struggle in Kodiak with our schools teetering on that 10 minimum frequently. And if that minimum was going to increase, we would certainly be closing schools. How Kodiak responds to the highly qualified teaching, we have taken some steps over the last few years to provide more rigorous content to our village schools through our video teleconferencing. This has proven to be a very good step, although I preface that by saying we're not there yet. We still have a lot to learn, but we are taking steps to make sure that our students in our rural communities get an equitable education to our students in our hub communities. I hope I've answered your question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I realize it's one of those questions. It's a difficult discussion to have, but I think it has to be part of the discussion on cost. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. There's been some strong political statements coming out of the ROC about how you're a fish economy, not an oil economy. Looking at our production decline, and if you look at the unrestricted general fund revenues from fishing, is Kodiak aware of how vibrant, how important oil is to our, and oil production is to our economy? We hear the rhetoric from the ROC or the island pretty forcefully about they don't need oil. Is there a myopia there when you get off the course of the mainland? Because unless you want to, I'd be happy to all of the insular areas to dedicate all of our unrestricted fish revenues and see how long you'd live on those. But you don't have to answer that, but I'll just leave that out there, food for thought.
Mr. Chair, may I respond slightly?
You got a guy here, one of the school board members.
Yeah. Through the chair, Aaron Griffin. Just to respond to that, we are fully recognizing that oil funds Alaska. We know that there's been quite a bit of talk regarding the future of where oil's going. We see the same thing, the same reports that you're getting here. And, I hope at least we're taking a look at some of the 10-year projections so we can understand the position that the legislature is taking on funding. And we are hoping that we can find a plan in the future for when the oil does run out, or if there's a place where it does, that we can rely on industries that aren't oil. And I think some of the, I think rhetoric might have been what it was called, that is really not, I think, reflective of the entire population's opinion.
Only elected officials.
No, but we understand that, you know, there is fishing revenue, and what we're hoping that we can move into a place where Alaska's economy is dependent not just on oil, but on maybe the results of educating our children and some other industries that Alaska can have pop up.
Okay, I'll thank you guys. We got Rangel sitting online next. So do you have audience? Anybody in the audience that Rangel wants sitting up at the table here? Or is anybody from Rangel here in the room? Okay, and also Susan Eagle will be the only one testifying, and I see other people online also, and we'll only be taking testimony from Susan. So with that, Susan, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, go ahead and name and affiliation and start your testimony. Thank you.
Yes, good morning. My name is Susan Eagle. I am the school board president here in Wrangell. I have been on the board for approximately 3 years and just recently took on the role as president. I apologize if you're getting background noise. We have some major road construction going on outside our window. So,
more oil than you expect.
Are you having trouble hearing?
No, we're fine. We're fine. I can hear the screen or something. We're fine. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. All right, well, I will just go ahead and get right into the presentation this morning. First question is, what is your fiscal year 13 total school district budget? And I'm assuming you do have the paperwork in front of you, is that correct?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Okay, thank you. It's approximately $6.7 million, and the percentage that goes to personnel is 76% for salary and benefits. On the graph below, you'll see that the school district budget from FY09 through 13 is shown, and that the breakdown there is for the state, local, and federal funds. And I did want to point out that the federal funds have been rolled into the local funds as of FY10. That's why there's such a significant difference between those. And going on, Did you fund to the total allowable, local contribution in FY12 or FY13? And the answer to that is no on both of those. And if not, how much below were you? And fiscal year 2012, the funding was $157,696 under, and in 2013, $217,704. One of the questions was, why was it not funded fully? And the city and borough did increase its contribution by $200,000 in July of 2012. But they also do provide a lot of, we recently had a bond for a new playground that the city is carrying, and they also carry some other bonds for the school as well. We're also looking at several construction projects going on over the next couple of years, hopefully, with some road improvements that are around the school. And how much has the state contributed to the PERS and TERS unfunded liability? In fiscal year 2012, the state was scheduled to give 32.99% of the TERS costs and 11.49% of the PERS in on-behalf payments. So the budget amount for those items are $613,000 approximately for TERS and approximately $87,000 for PERS. And the actual amounts will be determined when salaries and wages are final. How much is the state scheduled to contribute for PERS and TERS unfunded liability? The budgeted amounts are shown here as $782,000 for TERS and $110,000 for PERS. And once again, the actual amounts will be determined later. And when was your most recently ratified teacher contract put into place? Our most recent agreement was for the period of July 1st, 2012, ending June 30th, 2013. So we are set to go into negotiations in the fall again for the following contract. And the terms were... And the annual salary increase for each teacher is approximately $1,981 for each of the 3 years. And the teachers on board will split health care premium increases beginning in fiscal year 2012. These were one of the places where we saw some major increases in the benefits to employees, so we decided that we would start to share some of that, those increases. And the teachers will contribute to their health care costs in 2012 and 13. The average teacher salary in Wrangell is $66,781. We have a very a staff with a lot of longevity, and so that increases our average teacher salary a little bit. The starting teacher salary is $39,622. And did you negotiate significant salary increases in your labor contracts for fiscal year 2013? And no, we did not. We had a two-year contract prior to that, so we did not have a negotiation this year. And we currently have 22 full-time teachers. The combined increase in their salaries will be approximately $43,582, and that is due to step and column increases. And, of course, as you've heard before, the major cost drivers in our budget are annual salary and benefit increases, health insurance costs, and the cost of oil and or electricity to heat our building. The energy costs in fiscal year 2011 were $188,481, and that was for both electric and diesel. And the projected costs for FY13 are $228,000. So in January of 2011, we did install electric boilers in the high school, and we are still looking at trying to install those in our elementary school. But for now, we are anticipating that those costs are going to increase due to the oil that we are still using. And do you have a system in place to make budget adjustments when enrollment drops, and how do you approach this? And we do have budget reviews three times a budget at least a few students less than we might anticipate. So that way, if for some reason our enrollment doesn't meet that cap that we were, excuse me, that number, then we would have a little bit to play with there.
Yep, Susan.
And our enrollment has actually been stable for the last 3 years, and we hope not to see any further declines. We had significant declines approximately 10 years ago. What are our biggest instructional challenges? One of the major ones that we're facing right now, of course, is meeting 100% of the No Child Left Behind compliance in 2014. And our graduation rate is high, but we would like to work to increase that towards that 100%. But some of the other challenges we face are cutting staff due to budget decreases. And the possibility of losing our second language courses or some of our specialty courses, such as art and vocational education. The grade that we would give our school is a B+, because we do look at ourselves very critically and want to provide even more for our kids. Our elementary school was a Blue Ribbon school, and we're very proud of that. But we would still like to see improvements in our school district. We are working to improve our science curriculum and our technology integration. But we also have, achieved AYP each year. So we're choosing in the future to work on that science and technology piece. What are you proposing to do differently to improve student performance? We've enrolled in these Alaska STEP programs, even though it's not required. We did feel that it was a program that could be helpful to us. And we are also reapplying to the AASB QS2 program, looking for some funding to improve community involvement in the school. And growth programs will help us maintain our high-level student achievement. Is the district providing the kind of planning and curriculum support that is helpful to our school district? The Department of Education STEP program is also the key tool to help us provide evidence-based performance outcomes for student achievement. We feel that that is a good program. Additional funding for program support at DEED is necessary. And some feel that the continued cuts do not provide the high-quality support staff that is needed. How can DEED, the Board of Education, and other state agencies help you achieve better results other than providing just money? So we believe that the departments definitely need to work together. And there are a few programs that we felt were really beneficial to our district. The mentoring program was very important to us, and for both our teachers and our administrative staff. And how much area funding did you receive over the past few years? $461,642. And we chose to, we were at a point at that time that we were going to be having to cut back on our teaching staff, and we were able to keep our teaching staff as well as add a high school counseling position, which we had had to cut several years before that. And fortunately, we are able to maintain that counseling position this year since our funds have run out, and that is because we have two teachers that are retiring this year. So we have a few additional funds for that. Are there any questions?
Questions. Representative Guerra, question.
Just to cut to the chase, can you tell me what you would need to hold your current level of curriculum staffing even in terms of a base student allocation increase this year?
Well, actually, we have proposed a balanced budget. We do not have a deficit at this point in time. We do feel that the majority of that, well, some of that is due to our retiring teachers that were very high on our pay scale. So we funding, but have no reserves whatsoever on that budget.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Representative Dugan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't want to miss an opportunity to display my ignorance, but can you tell me what the abbreviation STEP means?
That is the Department of Education program. I do not know that answer right now.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, the bells are ringing. I want to thank everybody who called in and people who participated today. We will continue at 1:30, depending on if we'll probably go back to the floor tonight, knowing what I hear on the amendments. So we'll start at 1:30 and hopefully we go till 4. We'll have Bristol Bay at 1:30, Cordova at 2, Fairbanks at 2:30, Matsu at 3, and 3:30, Anchorage. And with that, we'll be adjourned until 1:30.